Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and welcome back to Tip Today. One listener saying, Clonmel, for a town with such potential and having the amount of large employers that is the envy of most counties, the Clonmel Chamber of Commerce must be taking notes from North Korea because the commercial rates are rip-off. Parking rates are killing the town centre. A prime location at the former Clonmel Arms is falling down, and people in there squatting. The marketplace off Gladstone Street in Clonmel is like a scene from an eastern Ukraine city. It's shameful to see. Clonmel probably has 3,000 or 4,000 well-paid workers pouring out onto the N24 every week. It's about time the councillors tried to harness some of that revenue into the town centres, is one of our listeners. Fran, our dog howled outside the sitting room door the morning my dad passed away. Isn't that very interesting? We were talking to our vet, Mairead, about whether or not animals could experience grief of some form, and that's very interesting. 083-311-3311. Now, we spoke to Anne-Marie in the first hour of this morning's show. As you know, we're on air from 9 o'clock every morning, and we spoke to Anne-Marie about medical expenses and the difficulties experienced by some people when they're trying to get a GP appointment. We had a huge reaction to her conversation. Here's just a little of what she had to say this morning between 9 and 10.
To be honest, I don't even like going to the doctor, because you wait an hour and a half outside when you're not feeling well. It's the last thing you want to do, and then you're going, and my own personal doctor, he sits and looks at the screen and he doesn't talk with you. I compare him to my consultant who I had when I went down after 2 or 3 months for a checkup. He sat there and he sat and he actually spoke to me. And when he spoke to me, I broke down, and it ended up that I was actually suffering from depression, which I couldn't speak to my own doctor because he sat there and looked at the screen the whole time. €60, it's a business at the moment, I think. It's paying €60 for your health is just ridiculous. You know what I mean? Even if it was €30, or, you know, if you go for the same problem, for example, like I went about my knee, about my leg, about 4 or 5 times, each time I had to pay €60. I remember before when, and I'm going back a few years ago, when I had problems with my neck and my back. And I went to the doctor, and if I went back with the same problem, I was never, ever charged.
That's heartbreaking stuff from Anne-Marie, who spoke to me just a little after 9 this morning. And I suppose it's timely following that we speak to Muriel Cuddy, who is CEO of Marito 8020. Good morning to you, and how are you, Muriel?
Great, Fran.
It's heartbreaking to listen to that, isn't it?
I listened to it earlier on. I've goosebumps actually after listening to her there now again. Yeah. It's where we are as a country, or where we've gone as a country. Like, we have no money and we're wondering why we have no money. And like, isn't there one of the instances straight away, like if you have kids or there are any issues at all and you're charged every time? No, we used to be charged years ago. Like, you went in and you could go back again. And on the other side of it, it's something we talk about all the time behind the scenes. And that's like patient relationship, like client-customer relationship. Where are the relationships gone? Who tries to build a relationship? Is it because the health service is so overrun and that you go into the doctor and there's a waiting room of 50 people sitting there and they have, I suppose, no time either to build the relationships? But where has the whole thing gone wrong? Because it definitely is falling apart,
yeah,
it seems.
But I mean, you run a busy business, but you couldn't afford to treat customers like that or patients like that.
They wouldn't come back to us. But you see, the difference is the health services ran literally on a tablet for a tablet. And I suppose us as the customer or the client or the patient, we're fueling it to a certain extent. Yeah. Because 15 or 20 years ago, you tried to make yourself well. The older generation tried to make themselves well in it the most natural way possible. Now, if somebody comes into me and I do something with them on nutrition, I can't give them a tablet, or I won't give them a tablet going out if I can avoid it at all, because I want them to be well on the most natural way possible. Whereas if somebody goes into a doctor, they're not happy coming out unless they actually have the tablet and have that little bag. So we're feeding into it to a certain extent, Fran.
Well, that's the culture that's there.
It's the culture. And you know, it's I said to you earlier on about habits and forming habits and all that kind of thing. Yeah. And I suppose we have to go back to go forward, don't we? If you think about this, is September, right? And I was thinking about this when I was driving along the other day, because somebody said to me, how do you actually get out of bed to go to the gym? Like when the clock goes off in the morning time. With kids, or say when you've reared them from a younger age and that, we make them when they're going to school in the morning, when they're going to creche, they're made get up and they're made get dressed, and you start teaching them and forming habits from a very young age. They start primary school. They have to man up and go in, and they form the habits of what they need to do. The same with secondary school. They've 8 classes a day. They have to find the teachers. They have to find their clothes. They go to college. They have to go out into the big world themselves and get themselves up themselves and set the clock and do the food and all the bits and pieces. Where does it stop then when we hit adulthood? That we don't form
the
or establish the habits that are going to carry us through. Like, I know my daughter's gone to college this week, and I was saying to her, right, your food, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need... I've it all done. I've it sorted. I have whatever put in place. And they're able to do it. I know it's a younger mind and it's a younger whatever. We get lazier as we get older. You know, definitely Irish people get lazier, and it's easier not to form the habit and use the excuse.
And as somebody who uses the excuse all the time, we're very good at that.
Oh, we are.
No, I'm too tired, I'm too
treating ourselves and all the bits. But you're having all the conversations here about the hospitals, and this is September. COVID is going to come back. We'll have the flu, we'll have the colds, we'll have the coughs. I spoke to you about the girl that I was really upset about that came to me. You remember I said to you she was diagnosed in hospital. She was 56.
Yeah.
She's actually dying. And she has, from this morning's conversation, 2 or 3 weeks to live. So literally it's pounds a week that are falling off her. Again, I have goose pimples, because we can help ourselves if we'll just like form the habits, do the small things right, and just pull back a little. The doctor's surgeries shouldn't be full. There's a lot of people going into the doctor's surgeries that can actually help themselves. And when I'm talking to people, like I say to them, sometimes it's a kick in the backside. And like, we have to do it for ourselves. Nobody else will do it for us, Fran. And I get really, I suppose,
Yeah, but and why not get frustrated about it? Because you're seeing it on a daily basis, I guess, Muriel. Will you talk to me about inflammation and the part that that plays in our health and the way we are, I suppose.
And I suppose it's the time of the year again. So signs of inflammation, acute inflammation, that progresses into chronic stage.
But will you explain when you speak about inflammation, what are you talking about?
Inflammation, it can present itself as redness, heat, swelling, pain, anything at all like that. But inflammation within the body, it's a couple of different things. It can come from stress, it can come from like lack of exercise, it can come from your diet, it can come from an injury, surgery. So many different things will cause inflammation within the body. It's like a car. If something goes wrong with a car, you have to bring it to the expert and you have to get it fixed and all. Well, our bodies are exactly the same. So there's certain things that we can do to reduce inflammation. If there's a lot of inflammation there, it can cause a lot of chronic illnesses. So say like if heart disease isn't genetic, if, you know, different type 2 diabetes. So there's so many different things that inflammation can drive. Inflammation also leaves you open. So the body is starting to break down. So it leaves you open to things like viral infection, bacterial infection. So when we're talking about viral infection, we're coming again into the winter months. So if there's inflammation in the body and you're open to it, you're open to things then like your COVID-19, like your flus. So like all the different things, meningitis, pneumonia, all of those things are all viral infections. And then even on the bacterial side, if you have a cut, even something as simple as that, and if there's inflammation in the body, well, if bacteria gets into that cut, then you're susceptible to bacterial infections. So inflammation can cause so many different things within the body, Fran. And
so what can we do, Muriel? I mean...
Well, I suppose there's a few different things. For me, there's a lot of people having surgery, so I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And my world here with you is to educate. That's literally. And I've met so many people in the last, in supermarkets and different places, saying to me, God, I got a tip there. That's what I want to do here. So it's, if we can do things that people can actually help themselves, that's what it's about.
Yes.
And that's what I want to tell people. On the first side, I've spoken about it so many times. And if you're listening and you're going to the supermarket, load up on the anti-inflammatory foods, first of all. Okay? Now, this is important, Fran.
Right.
So there's some anti-inflammatory foods, and then there's other ones I want people to eliminate if there is inflammation already in the body, right? So the foods that I want them to load up on to control their blood sugar and all that kind of thing, vitamin A, C, D and zinc, right? So what's vitamin A? So I want to tell you exactly what you need to be having, right? So it's like leafy greens. Again, I'm going back to the same things again, like liver, milk, eggs, okay? All of them are vitamin E. Vitamin C is your colour. So everything in colour in abundance. So like your berries, your fruits, your veg, anything that's colour. And that's antioxidant. And antioxidant means anti-inflammatory. So that reduces inflammation.
Okay.
Vitamin D is next. So vitamin D, it's more like your salmon, your fish, your liver, your milk, your egg yolks, things like that. Again, anti-inflammatory. So it reduces inflammation within the body. And then your zinc. So your zinc is different. It's a mineral. Okay, so magnesium and zinc are two minerals the body needs massively. For zinc, and a lot of people are deficient in zinc, so you don't take both at the same time. So take magnesium earlier in the day, zinc earlier in the day and magnesium to relax before you go to bed at night. But from zinc, it's like cashew nuts, chickpeas, pumpkin seeds, red meat, poultry, whole grains. So a lot of them cross over.
Mm-hmm.
But to know whether we have them or not, that's one of the biggest things. Other things that we need, turmeric. So turmeric, that's a natural anti-inflammatory. That comes in a powder form. Fish oils, ginger, spirulina, green tea, honey, oatmeal. Things you've heard me talking about all the time. These are the staples of our diet. That's what we should base our wintertime diet around.
What's the magnesium in?
Oh, so magnesium's in like loads of different things. Leafy greens again. So it's in lots of colour. So magnesium's in.
So it
basically
crossover with
basically
this,
crosses so. Over again. Yeah.
Okay.
There's one of the things I wanted to talk about here in relation to all of this. So, right, what do you eliminate? So if you do have inflammation in the body and you do have, say, things like Alzheimer's, there's a study actually going on. I know I'm digressing a little in the Plough Match over these 3 days on Parkinson's. So they're actually trying to do research again on science of inflammation, etc.
There's a link with nitrates
there's a link. Well done, Fran. Yeah, so the nitrates and that. So they're trying to figure out, like, does it come from the pesticides, all of that kind of thing. And they've even done studies in Champagne and Bordeaux in France, where there's a lot of people go to play golf and that. And they actually are finding that more people that play golf and do outdoor things like that later in life are actually developing Parkinson's. So, that's just... And
that's
environmental toxins are a stressor. So But anyway, going back to, say, the Alzheimer's and things like that. Nightshade foods can actually increase the pain in things like arthritis and different things like that. That if you already have some form of inflammation and you've been diagnosed with something, to avoid certain foods that don't actually cause you more pain or more inflammation. So what is a nightshade food? I'm giving a lot of information. A nightshade food is like peppers, tomatoes, potatoes. So things like that.
Avoid. You know,
there's a family. Yeah, there's a family of nightshade foods that can actually increase inflammation if there is already, that you've been diagnosed with something already that causes you pain.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes. Yeah, they're a nightshade food. There's different levels of foods. They're kind of grouped together like families, like cruciferous foods are like broccoli, you know, like the green stem.
Mm.
And if you cut the stem of broccoli, you can actually see the end of it, like there's like a horseshoe or whatever on it. They're your cruciferous. So they would affect one lot of people, and then like your nightshade can affect another lot of people. So that's our world. That's what we do. You try to figure out.
So just name those again. The nightshade ones
are... Yeah, so our potatoes, peppers, tomatoes, red foods like that. Okay, there's a chemical in them that will actually drive the inflammation, which will affect the pain.
Right. Yeah. Now, they're perfectly fine if you're not suffering
absolutely.
From inflammation. Is that
absolutely.
It?
Okay. So you need to figure out, really, I suppose, for people, again, even to have the conversation. So that's the nutrition intolerance side of things, you know. So it's like dairy and it's like all the different things, you know, that are within your foods. Because like I was doing a piece on that the other day. Actually, I didn't bring in my phone now, but I was doing a piece on that the other day, even in relation to if you have pain in the body, where does it come from? What are you lacking in? So if you know if you have sugar cravings and you just can't stop eating
I know?
Yeah. Well, that's a lack of mineral chromium, you know. So there's different things within the body. And unless we educate ourselves on what's actually working for us or not working for us. So if somebody has arthritis and they have pain or they've painful joints, start writing down your foods and actually see what affects. So if you have your dinner in the evening time and you have your potatoes with your dinner, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour later, you actually feel and you can't understand and you put it down to tiredness because it's evening time. Could be actually something that you've eaten for your dinner at that time of the day. So that's
incredible,
isn't it? Yeah. So it all crosses over. So to move on there, Fran, then to say, remember I was talking about the cryotherapy and that earlier.
Yeah, would you explain that? Because I know people will be fascinated with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I suppose I want to offer in the clinic what will work for people. So what we're seeing, say, is inflammation in the body. And we have people coming to us lately post-surgery to do bloods and all the different bits and pieces, right? So cryotherapy or cryostimulation, for anyone that's listening, if anybody's involved in sport at all, they will have heard it. You knew straight away when I mentioned it to you. And it's like ice, literally. So it's non-invasive and it's natural. And the only ingredient used is cold air. And the cold air is made of nitrogen mist, about 70%. So it's all very natural. And 70% of nitrogen makes up the Earth's atmosphere, right? So everything we want to offer that will work, okay? So I suppose if you've surgery, it's trauma, isn't it? And surgery isn't natural. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be surgery. For cryotherapy, it works on every level. Say, two of the girls in the office when we started doing the training for this, both of them actually, if they're listening, it has to be high heels, but both of them, it was their big toe. And they literally couldn't, one of them in particular couldn't walk. She literally, it was high, Charlotte, you know Charlotte.
Yeah, I do, of course.
Couldn't walk.
Yes.
And Charlotte without her high heels, if she's listening, is literally not Charlotte.
Yes.
So she was in flats, basically for like a couple of weeks. Now, this has gone on a long time. She loves to hike and she couldn't hike and she couldn't whatever. But anyway, the cryotherapy, so sceptical. If anybody knows Charlotte, they'll say, God, she even tried something. She is so sceptical to try anything, anything at all like this. But anyway, she tried it. After the first treatment, she said to me the next morning, I actually feel the heat has gone, that the heat has gone down within the injury. She was going to her physio that day and she said, I'm going to try it again. You need to leave 24 hours between treatments before I go to physio and see what he thinks, and I'll say nothing. So she tried it again, went down to the physio, and he said, what are you doing? He said, the heat is gone completely because it was on fire the week before.
Isn't that incredible?
And they were actually talking about steroid injections.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So how does this work then?
So cryotherapy literally is, it's ice. It's like steam. And you apply it to the area of wherever
dry
the trauma
is.
It's like dry ice, okay. It's like steam. There's actually, if you follow Marito on Facebook or on social media, we have a video put up of how it actually works and that's the cryostimulation. And it reduces inflammation. That's what it actually does, reduces the swelling, reduces the pain. So post-surgery, it's the same thing, literally. And I suppose just to give a piece on it, really, I suppose what happens is, it's very normal for people to experience pain from inflammation after surgery. So the part of the healing process, or rather the healing side effect, is where the red blood cells and the white blood cells are needed and desired at the point of injury to fight infection, which we know, and to deliver much needed care. But often the fluid surrounding these cells get in the way, which causes pain, stagnation. Pain and stagnation. When the body experiences the blast of cold air from the cryotherapy or cryostimulation, these fluids can be decreased and redistributed, which allows circulation to improve, toxins are flushed out, fresh healthy blood comes to the area to increase all areas of the body, literally, rapidly, naturally, without pain, without pressure. So that's literally what it is. It's literally, it reduces the inflammation. It helps the red blood cells and white blood cells work properly.
And is it pumped to that area or something? Is there some form of...
So there's a few different ways of doing it. So cryostimulation is what we want to work with, Fran, because cryostimulation is isolation, literally. So if it's your elbow, you can work on your elbow. If it's your ankle or it's your toe, whatever, like the girls. With the athletes, it's different. They immerse themselves in tanks or they go into units. So you're trying to bring the body temperature down. With the cryostimulation, you're trying to bring it down to between 2 and 5 degrees, which is low. You'll actually feel pain and you'll feel, you know, you'll know what's happening. With the cryo tanks, when you step into them, your whole body literally feels like it's gone into shock.
Of course,
but it speeds up the metabolism. Like, it's really good for weight loss, reduces any inflammation all over, you know. So there's so many benefits to it.
The cryotherapy, does that work for arthritis?
It'll help, definitely. It'll definitely help. And you know, it works on other things like skin tags and warts and all of those smaller things that really affect people, you know, so it gets rid of them straight away as well.
Mm. Is somebody wondering about rheumatoid arthritis? And that's Jerry into us this morning to know about that.
The nightshade foods.
Yeah,
better off without the nightshade foods. If there's any pain at all within the arthritis.
Potatoes, tomatoes,
peppers, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apple cider vinegar, says Michael in Temple Moor. You go along with that.
I love apple cider vinegar,
I can't stand it.
Yeah, it works. It works for a lot of people. Some people it doesn't. It cuts, like they just feel it going down the minute they... But do you can't stand it because of the taste of it, or does it actually affect you?
No, the taste of it.
Ah, you have to get over that, Fran. Seriously?
I have to get over a lot of things, Muriel.
I know.
You know we're live when you say things like that. Yeah, you want to get over that, Fran. Yeah.
I know, seriously. It's just like, you know the way people take a tablet, or if they're given a bottle of rotten medicine, they'll take the rotten medicine. But
I know.
But anyway, there's tablets for apple cider vinegar now as well.
It's discipline, you see. It's what you were referring to earlier on. Somebody wondering about the turmeric where blood pressure is concerned. Does it have an effect on blood pressure?
I'm not 100%, so I'm not going to give the wrong answer on it, but I couldn't see that it would, to be honest, because it's very natural, but I'm not 100%. But I can find out, and if they want to ring me, that's no problem at all.
All right, okay. You're 10 days off from your
opening? We are
opening?
10 days off, and you know, if any of the lads are listening down on site, so I have to give a big shout out to Joe Mulcahy. So Joe is the builder on site, and we are in his ear, so he has a crowd of women behind the scenes
shouting
at him. Yeah, literally. 10 times a day. And he has been so civil and so lovely to us from the very beginning. Yeah. And it's coming, the project is coming in on time. All the lads that are down there, from Tony, who's one of the main builders, to the plumbers, electricians, painters, the place is just buzzing. And they're all so lovely and they're all getting on together and all the bits and pieces. And they stand back and they leave us in and they're like, I'm sure they're saying to themselves, look at these coming again, they're going to drive us mad. But I have to say thanks, because seldom people get a thanks, isn't it?
And, Absolutely. And it's Parnell Street in Clonmel. And just finally, can I drag you in on a conversation that we've been having throughout the morning, because there was some argy-bargy at the municipal district meeting yesterday about the town and rejuvenation of the town and all of that. You're making a huge investment in the town at this point.
We are.
Are you happy with the support you're getting and with the...
Well, I suppose we haven't gotten any support of anybody, and nobody has called us. Now, for us, yes, it's a huge investment. The money is like, there's a lot of noughts on the end of what we've actually put into the building and then that side of the town, and a lot more even. I suppose we've created at least 3, if not 4, new jobs in the new place, and that will probably go to 15 jobs by the time we have it all. The builders that are on site, all of that kind of thing. It was actually only yesterday. Nobody has actually, I suppose, really come to us and said, what can we do? But yesterday I said to one of the girls, can you apply for the commercial rates grant? Because the commercial rates are serious, Fran.
Really high.
Yeah, and it's a derelict building, it was empty, vacant for the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. So things like that really matter to a business that's starting, because for us, cash flow is king. And for us to start generating money and then paying what we need to pay, we need as much support as we can possibly get. So, if there is anybody...
And your business will drag people into town then?
Well, we plan on, like, the Marito H20 brand is 5-star aesthetic and wellness clinic that we plan. And already I've had a couple of girls on from Dublin that I work with saying I need appointments or whatever. So we're literally just, like, off the motorway. We have Cork, Kilkenny, Tipperary, Waterford, Dublin. We plan on bringing people from all over. Our doctors, we have 3 doctors, like Spanish, Irish, whatever. They're well known already. Right. So yes, we're going
to bring people into the town. It's interesting, because that is really experiential. That's what you're experiencing as somebody who's starting a brand new business right now in town.
We need people to come to us and say, listen, even with parking, things like that, because
parking is
a busy street. Yeah, you know, so for somebody to be able to park straight outside the premises, we have a couple of our own parking spaces. But parking's a big deal. Now, Leo and them have been brilliant to us, Fran, so I do have to say that.
Okay.
Local Enterprise Office, they've always been very good to us, but on the other side.
Well, always good to talk to you, and the countdown is happening, and we wish you well, Muriel.
Yes, thanks. Can I give the number, Fran, just
in
case?
I beg your pardon, of course you can, yes.
So 087 415 4998.
Okay, and that's for general queries and...
Yes, everything. Sort of just to have a chat, yeah.
All right, good to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed, Muriel. That's Muriel Cuddy there, CEO of Marito 8020, and 10 days to go before the official opening of that on Parnell Street in Clonmel. All right, we'll take a break, back in a moment.
The Imro Radio Award winning tip today.
With Slattery's Garage, Puck On. Test drive the all new Peugeot 2008 compact SUV at Slattery's Garage, Puck On. Choose from petrol, diesel, or fully electric. Slattery'sGarage.ie.